Hello, everyone. My name is Jane Ralph, and I have the honor of being the executive director of Construct. And I was invited here today to share in this amazing worship service with you. I was here this summer, as some of you might remember, but it really loses something when that guy over there isn't here, doesn't it? Isn't here. He really adds something to it. You did a good job with him. Anyway, I'd like to reflect a little bit on the theme of the day and the work that we do at Construct and the need we have for partnership in all that we do. To make things that happened in the story of Jesus and his family maybe not happen so often as we go forward. As we come into this season, I get as excited about hope and love and joy as anyone. And I find that it's true for many of the folks that Construct supports and serves, whether it's the homeless folks who are in our transitional housing, or the tenants in our permanent housing, or those who come to get some kind of assistance so that they can stay safely housed. Lots of folks who need those resources are just as generous, if not more, than anyone else that I come across. In fact, it's humbling to see that folks who have so little in terms of traditional wealth give so much. So many of the folks that we work with are so generous to those around them. They show such empathy and love and kindness. While Construct is not a religious organization, we are supported by many who are, like First Congregational and Hevra of the South Berkshires. For any of us who know some of the stories of Hebrew and Christian scripture, it's hard to miss the obvious connections, just as you heard earlier in the children's message and in the reading. The themes of hospitality and welcome, this welcome to the stranger, run through the Torah and the Quran, as well as other sacred texts. So it's even more jarring to reflect on the birth and early childhood narratives of Jesus and his family. They did not experience welcome, empathy, kindness, or love. Yes, someone let them stay in a stable, but I'm not sure that really qualifies as empathy, kindness, or love. So as the story goes, and as we heard, Joseph and Mary are not married. Mary's pregnant. That didn't bode well in that culture. That still sometimes doesn't today. They were engaged. So when it came time for the census, it was much different than it was today. Today, at least in Berkshire County, folks beat the bushes to try to find everyone who's in the area, to count, make sure everyone's counted. In that first century time period, it wasn't like that at all. And Mary and Jesus had to make an arduous journey back to Bethlehem. Now, for whatever reason, there wasn't a welcome mat put out by Joseph's family. That lineage, that extended family that we would think was probably there, didn't welcome them. They had to fend for themselves. Just as it happens for so many of those Construct serves, for some reason, there was a tear in that safety net that family sometimes provides. Like today, often there's not a habitable, that's a tough word, I should have used a simpler one. Often there isn't a habitable place for folks to stay. Construct, sadly enough, is often on the delivering end of that message. We often have a waiting list for the homeless folks who need transitional housing, and we always have a waiting list for those who need permanent housing. Right now it's over 700 households. 700. That's a lot. Just for 80-some units of housing. Where Construct differs from an inn or some families is that we do everything we can to ensure a safe place so that folks are not left out in the cold. We provide emergency shelter so that on a night like tonight, no one's outside. And we work with partners to make sure that that happens. No one's going to sleep out in the cold if we know about it. But we don't always know about it. Not everyone is connected to a loving community like this is. And this is where I scratch my head. If there is a sacred, omnipotent presence in the universe that we might call God, why would God choose for this to be the type of birth that God would have? For God incarnate to be born in this stable? Born, you know, we say manger, but that's a bit of a euphemism. It's a feeding trough, you know? We don't write hymns about feeding troughs. As an early poet put it, the winds were scornful passing by, and gathering angels wondered why. A burdened mother did not mind that only animals were kind. Who in the world could guess that God would search out loneliness? Is it perhaps because of these experiences of want, neglect, danger, and desperation that Jesus, and often those who Construct serves, are generous, empathic, kind, and loving? If so, how might we turn that terrible truth on its head? How might we change things so that perhaps we can pass on those things because we've received generosity, we've received empathy, kindness, and love, not because anyone's been deprived? When we speak of Construct's vision of a socially vibrant and economically healthy South Berkshire community with housing for everyone, including our most vulnerable neighbors and our vital workforce, that's what we're trying to get at. We don't think anyone should have to learn the lesson of generosity through deprivation. But alas, for the South Berkshires, as well as for the Holy Family, this is not immediately to be. Over 16,000 people in the Berkshires live with low income or in poverty. Almost 30% of the folks who live in Stockbridge fit into that category. That's the highest in the South Berkshires. And the Holy Family, like so many vulnerable families, went from inadequate prenatal care, unsafe travel, birth in a place not meant for human habitation, to have to flee to another country just to be safe. They went to refugee status. For folks in the Berkshires, a favorite James Taylor song might have the line, and the frosting seemed dreamlike on account of... Nope. The Berkshires seem dreamlike on account of that frosting. But for me today, there's a song that rings even more true out of his songbook. And that's the song with the line, being warned in a dream of King Herod's scheme, they went home by another way. Fortunately, they knew to flee to Egypt. They were able to flee to a safe place, the Holy Family. But they ended up in a place they never expected to be. And there's no evidence that they had anything like LitNet to help them. No one was there to transform their lives through the power of literacy, education, and advocacy. There was no strong connected community, no evidence of patience and flexibility. Thank God for LitNet, whose work is needed more than ever today. Far too many refugees and immigrants are haunted by the dangers they flee, only to be greeted with more at the border and beyond. For years, Construct also offered adult education, but because LitNet is here, we no longer have to do that. We can focus just on safe homes and leave the education to those who are best suited to do it. No one is better suited than LitNet. Whether homeless, refugee, or recent immigrant, like many of us living paycheck to paycheck or on a fixed income, life circumstances often surprise us, sometimes for the better, but often in ways that test our safety nets. You have a couple of people in your congregation who have stepped up uniquely to make sure that there is a safety net in their participation in Construct's walk. And just as I want to honor all of you for the contribution you've made, I'd like to ask Casey and Tristan to join me down front so I can honor them.
In the scripture Irving read to us, we saw that Jesus and his family were forced to leave their home country and flee to a country where they probably didn't understand the language. Here in Berkshire County, we have people who come here fleeing from their country, not speaking a word of English. It's hard to imagine how difficult that must be to come here and not be able to communicate.
I want to share a letter written by one of our LitNet students describing his experience of coming to a new country. My wife, son, and I departed in haste from Colombia just after receiving a phone call advising us that the guerrilla fighters were at our doorstep. My wife's family were already in Lenox, so we fortunately could book a flight the next day Fortunately, we received asylum in the United States as it was too dangerous for us to return to Colombia at that time. Struggling for the first 3 months after our arrival and speaking no English, I was very fortunate to find LitNet, where I was matched with a tutor who helped me learn English, and she also helped me rebuild my confidence. I was able to get jobs cleaning offices and kitchens, and eventually worked my way into a management job, always with LitNet's coaching and support. Now, 14 years later, I am honored to support our immigrant community by serving on the LitNet Board of Directors. This is still the person writing the letter, not me. It was such a privilege to be able to give back to the organization that gave me so much. LitNet's dedicated staff and volunteer tutors continue to help our students take the necessary small, whether they be large or small, toward becoming thriving members of our community.
So as you just heard Sarah read this letter from one of our board members, LitNet does transform lives through education. At LitNet, we believe that every student has a right to an education and to learn how to speak, read, and understand English. This helps our students to achieve their goals, and in turn, it helps them become vibrant participators in our community. LitNet trains people, like all of us, to become tutors so that we can teach English to adult learners at no cost to them. We currently have 135 trained tutors, but we also have a waiting list of students who want to be matched to a tutor. We need more tutors. Sarah and I are both on the board of LitNet, which, by the way, is Code Talk for Literacy Network of Southern Berkshires. We're both on the board, but we're also long-term and long-time tutors. Between the two of us, we've tutored students from Lebanon, France, Colombia, Russia, and Korea. In fact, my Korean student was a woman I met right back there in those pews. When Brent asked us to pass the peace, I turned around and found this lovely woman from Korea, and I could tell that she was struggling with English. I told her all about LitNet, and then I had the blessing of becoming matched with her as her tutor. And it was such a joy for me to watch her grow in confidence as she learned English. And it might sound a little intimidating for those of us who don't have PhDs in English, but LitNet supplies us with curriculum, so it's actually a fairly easy thing to do and so enriching. Sarah and I would both tell you that the relationships that we've developed with our students are so special. Learning about other cultures, watching them grow in confidence, and becoming employed citizens of our community. During the coffee hour this morning, we would be happy to answer any questions you might have about LitNet, and we have a little form for you to sign up if you're interested in becoming a tutor. But we also want to thank this congregation for being one of our supporters. We so appreciate your individual support as well as the support of this church, who is a mission partner of Literacy Network.